Hey, I'm Dave, and you're listening to another episode of Dying to Listen podcast presented by the Disc Golf Dyers Guild. Today, we have an amazing guest, Logan from Surf City Discs and Dyes. So get ready to learn a lot and some more information about him. So, Logan, I greatly appreciate taking your time out of your day to be on this little podcast here. I guess we'll dive right in here. One, do you play disc golf?
I do. I wanted to thank you also for letting me be on your show here. It's a first-time experience for me, so it's a great experience, and get my name out there some more. So I do play disc golf. I first started playing disc golf in March of 2021. I went out with some friends that I work with, and they handed me a driver. I threw it straight up in the air, and it went straight to the left. So after that awful round, I decided that I wanted to get better. I went and bought three discs and started practicing some more, fell in love with the sport. And like most things, like once I get into something, I'm full and forced into it and hadn't looked back since.
That's awesome. They actually stuck with it. What does disc golf mean to you?
It's a way to just get out. Like if I have stuff going on, like if I don't know what else I want to do the day, or in general, like if I want to go out and throw discs, and it's just peaceful way to, enjoy nature and just get away from everything else.
What got you into disc dying?
So I stumbled upon r/discgolf on Reddit, and then someone posted a dyed discs on Reddit and tagged r/discdying. I got on there and found this like warship. So long story short, I got into Westside Discs. That's been one of the brands that I like the most. So when I took a warship and had like a sunset themed dye with like some waves, and immediately I saw that, I was like, I want to replicate that. So it was actually, I wrote it down so I didn't forget. It was creamy discs, I believe. He did it, I think. And I wanted to replicate it, so I watched some videos, I got some acetone, some clear glue, and just went for it.
That's awesome. Was that your first post on Instagram for that?
It was.
Because I was looking at your Instagram, and I was trying to figure out when you first started disc dying, and I saw that disc, yeah. And I remember liking that from my other account, Discs Dyed by Dave. Mm-hmm. I was like, boy, that's really cool. So when did you actually get into disc dying?
So it was about a year after I started playing. It was around, again, March, April time of 2022. So I've only been, I'm going on a year of doing it.
That's crazy. And the work that I've seen that you've done is pretty amazing for the little time that you have done. So
I appreciate
kudos
that.
For you. What was your first disc that you dyed? Was it that warship?
It wasn't actually. So I saw that and I wanted to get that disc done. But the first one I actually did was a Star Rock. It didn't turn out great, obviously. So yeah, the base color is base blue. So I use like purple and orange, and found out really quick that orange and blue make brown.
Yes. Color theory. What did you use for a bed on that disc?
It was Floetrol. So I was watching YouTube, and I don't remember which video it was, but I just dove into all of them, anything I could find. I got into wanting to try split cup because it looked kind of easy. Just, take your cup, put it in there, a little bit of Floetrol, and just start pouring colors until, it starts running out the side and makes cells. I found out that it wasn't that simple.
I find it fascinating that, I guess in my mind, you started disc dying relatively recent. Mm-hmm. And the information that you found and your path of how you got started. Because I feel like a lot of dyers that started during COVID or before started with like shaving cream and Ritz, stuff like that.
Right.
You basically went, you're going all in, you're getting advanced right away.
Oh, yeah. I saw some shaving cream stuff, and there were some nice ones out there, but it just didn't. I wanted something more than just the shaving cream. I kind of want to try lotion, that way I could, do some hand painting, but I just dove straight into it with the glue and the Floetrol, and that's been pretty much it since.
That's awesome. Again, great way to start rather than shaving cream and Ritz. So kudos for you on that. What other methods have you tried?
So other than those two, I've tried some white glue. I wasn't too big of a fan of that. Hot dipping, some stencils. That's pretty much it. And then also, like, I'll take some acetone whenever I finish one dye and, like, just go back and color in with some acetone dye on, you know, some stuff to touch up. Or if I want to color added in, then I'll do that.
What is your current favorite method to dye a disc?
Definitely Floetrol. I just find it to be, well, I would say easy, but it's not. Once I figured out what I was doing and could replicate it, is basically like, you know, start the bed, pop the disc in there, turn on the heat and leave it for 2 hours to 4 hours and pull it out and throw another one in.
Was there any like aha moments that clicked and like, all right, this is working? If so, what was it?
For sure. So, I actually, you know, one of the YouTube channels I was watching was T Diddy. He had the other basement disc dyers on there and fresh dyed discs. Doug French was on there. He was showing how he does his Floetrol beds. And the way that I was doing at the time, again, was just the split cut method. Just throw some dye in there, see what happens. For him, I saw, like, you know, he took the dimethicone, made the bed, only added dimethicone to the actual, like what you used to swipe the bed with. So he would fill the bed up with dye and then take a separate cup of usually black, put a little bit of dimethicone in there, swirl it up a few times, just lay a line and then swipe it over with some Saran wrap. Once I tried that, I instantly figured out what I was doing and actually got sales.
Awesome. That must have been a great feeling, honestly.
It was. Because I have this one over here I pulled out. So this was before I found out how to do sales.
Okay.
I had, like, you know, that one there and one there, but they'd be in the bed whenever I see them before I drop the disc, and then after I pull it out, it's completely gone.
And it's gone. What what silicone oil do you use?
Dimethicone.
Is there a specific weight or viscosity?
I have it right over here. Let me grab it. It just says LiveArt dimethicone.
I think I have. Bottle. I think I have the same exact stuff.
Yeah, I just went on Amazon and bought it off there. It's been working fine for me. I've had this bottle since when I started using dimethicone, which was probably around May of last year. And it's still halfway full.
How much do you put in like a single serving cup of color for your bed?
So if I'm for my swipes, depending on how much dye I had in there, I usually just add like 3 drops, maybe more if it's going to be like a long line, but typically just about 3 drops.
Do you mix it at all?
So I have a straw because I didn't have like a popsicle stick or something. So I use that. I just dive it into the dye and then swirl it about 3 times, 4 times, get it mixed in just a little bit, but not too much, and just go from there.
So you said you use an ultimate frisbee for to contain your bed. Is there anything else that you use?
So I started out with Ultimate Frisbee. That's what I had on hand. That's what I could use. And then I recently got a cake pan. It uses a little bit more Floetrol to fill up the whole thing, but the results you get are fantastic. You know, you have a lot more area to play with as far as which pattern you want, which area of the bed looks best. You can just pick and choose instead of, you know, if you have the Ultimate Frisbee, there could be part of it that looks great and part that you really don't like, but it's only so big, so you gotta just send it anyway.
Yeah, I'm recently learning that, because in my mind I wanted a cake pan or whatever that's the size of the disc to do that, but for multiple reasons, having a large one where you can determine where you can place the disc based on the pattern that you see, and to get unique patterns that you couldn't get in a smaller cake pan, if that makes sense. What size is your cake pan, and is it square?
It is. It's rectangular. So I have it right here. It's, I think, 9 It is 15.25 by 10.25.
So that looks like a cookie sheet.
Well, like, maybe that's it.
Because when I think of like a cake pan, well, I think of something deep.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How much? Well, obviously the Floetrol isn't that deep then.
Right.
Do you have any issues with the disc bottoming out?
Not usually. I mean, I usually fill it up, you know, pretty decent. I mean, that pan is kind of shallow, but I mean, I can still get, you know, plenty of disc out of it.
So do you use heat at all?
I do. So I use a heat lamp for all my Floetrol stuff. If I do glue beds, which I haven't really done many at all lately, but I'll use it for Floetrol. It usually speeds it up a lot faster. I found that it makes the cells a lot crisper. The first one I tried, which is this rock, I just let it sit for like 24 hours, and you can see how that turned out. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I found that the heat lamp makes it a lot crisper and cleaner lines, and the cells don't muddy away into other colors.
How did you settle on how long you let it sit for, and how long was that again?
So for like Star Plastic, I let it sit for about 2 hours. Sometimes if it's the first bed of the day, I'll let it sit for 2 hours, 15 minutes just to get the temperature warmed up in it. I found that out just doing research, asking questions, going on r/ disc dyeing, seeing what people were doing there, watching YouTube videos, trying to figure out what works best. And someone told me 2 hours, so I just went for it, and it's been doing good. I believe it may have actually been Happy Tree Dyes that told me the 2 hour part.
Nice. That's awesome. What colors do you like to use in your dyes in general?
So I only use pro chemical and dye for my dyes. Big fan of Caribbean Blue. Neon Lemon Zest I use a lot of, but I found that a lot of times it can turn out a little bit of a greenish tint. So I'll add a little bit of, I was adding a little bit of bright yellow to it just to add, you know, more yellow to get away from the greenish tint to it. I ran out of that, so now I have Sun Yellow, and it's doing fine too. But those two are good. I want to say Neon Pink, but it just likes to sink in the dye. It has more of a higher density, so whenever you put it in the Floetrol, it just sinks down. But if you can get it just right to where it stays in there, and you can, you know, pull a clean line, it'll mix with blue a little bit and make a little bit of purple. And I think it just turns out great.
How do you make your color mixtures?
So I have these condiment bottles. I don't know what size they are, maybe like 12 ounces or so. So I just have a Keurig behind me. I'll get some hot water out of that, get the dye, pour it in there, take the hot water, pour that in there as well. And I have some, I saw marbles on YouTube. I couldn't find any, so I just got like some sea rocks from like a beach store. So threw a few of those in there and just shake it up until it all gets mixed up.
I was going to ask.
From there, just add Floetrol and shake it again, a little bit more Floetrol and go again.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you mix the dye on demand, or do you have it in a container? And I see you have it in a container. How long does like one of those containers last you?
If I'm doing like just one bed, it'll definitely last that long. But if I start going into like, you know, probably about two beds is probably where the limit is. If I'm doing the Neon Pink though, because it just likes to sink, I have to just keep pouring that stuff until it sits. So I can go through a whole bottle of that in just one bed.
Wow. And speaking of beds, how many discs do you get out of a bed typically?
Lately it's been around 4 or 5. It really just depends on what I have time for. And once it looks, you know, like the use of the bed's gone, then I just chunk it and go on to the next. But awesome. I have been able to manage to get it up to like 7 or 8.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. What is your process for reusing a bed?
So whenever you pull the disc out, I mean, some colors mix a little bit, but you have all the colors still there from whenever you did the last one. I just do the same process again, get some dimethicone, a little bit of dye, mix it up, pour like a little swipe line, run something across it, and just keep on going.
What do you use to swipe with?
I use Saran Wrap. So I just got some cheap Saran Wrap from Walmart, cut a little bit of that, and just pull it across. I will sometimes use paper towels, and that's what I actually was using until I got more Saran Wrap. I just didn't go to the store. But it worked fine. It has a little, once it gets the dye on there, it has a little bit more weight to it, so it just kind of pulls a little bit differently. But the Saran Wrap's probably the way to go.
Yeah, that seems like the consensus from what I've been seeing and hearing. Have you tried any other methods with the Floetrol besides cell?
Not really. I want to try doing some chameleon cells. I want to maybe try like some design just by itself without, you know, making these cells. But that's, you know, I'll do that sometime.
Yeah. Man, I really need to dive into the 3 gallons of Floetrol that I have. I have not had time. But learning a bunch of information, like even from you, what's interesting me is the very shallow cookie pan. And I wonder if that helps with the definition, because there's not a whole lot of convection that can happen because it's so shallow. So that's got me thinking.
So speaking of the depth in the cookie pan, so there was a post I saw on Instagram. I forgot who it was, what they were talking about exactly, but it was actually not a good comment, because the guy was trying to, you know, criticize someone else's work about, you know, why, saying it looked muddy. I thought it looked fine, but essentially he was saying that they're adding too much dye to their bed, causing it to lose definition. I haven't really experimented with it much, so I'm not really sure, but maybe that's the trick.
Interesting. All good information. And the reason you should experiment. And speaking of experimentation, like, what do you plan on doing next with experimentation, or where do you want to take your dyes?
I want to try some chameleon cells, see if I can get those down, because I watched, you know, Little Bot Dyes video. I've watched a few others, and it looks awesome, but I haven't tried it doing it yet. I want to get into some, like, I don't know if I can do it with the Floetrol, but like painting it on the disc and just leaving it under a heat lamp, seeing if I can get color that way with some stencils instead of, you know, hot dipping it, just getting the color that way. Maybe some lotion dyes if the Floetrol doesn't work out like I think it might. I haven't really done much glue beds lately, mostly because I like how the Floetrol turns out for me. Whereas the glue beds, like, I can, you know, make my design, have it all set to go, and I'll see like a few imperfections that I wasn't seeing when I sent it, and it just kind of turned me off a little bit. But if I can get into that a little bit more and get it figured out, then I'll probably start doing more of those.
Interesting.
It also takes a lot longer to pull those out.
the clear glue beds?
Well, like, as far as pulling the disc back out, it takes a lot longer for the disc to die in those, because I don't use heat.
Well, you should try using heat. I keep mentioning this, and I know people probably hate this, but I do heat for like 20, 30 minutes, let it rest for 45, and it's done.
That's fair.
How, for your Floetrol beds, how do you feel the saturation is on those with, I guess, a relatively short sit time?
I mean, most of the time it turns out great. So, like, it really depends on the plastic. So if you have like Lucid or Champion, you know, something that's pretty clear, glow plastic, except for, well, yeah, I'd say all glow plastic. It has a different plastic material. So if you leave it for 2 hours, chances are it's going to look faded. It's not going to be really vibrant colors. But it, most of the time, just depends on the plastic. 2 hours typically works out great for most of my dyes, though.
What is your favorite plastic?
I have a hard time figuring that out, honestly, because I just dye like a lot of different stuff, and as long as it's like the K1 type Star plastic from Innova, ESP, you know, something of that nature, that's probably my favorite. I mean, you can pop that in there for 2 hours and go. And I find that, you know, whenever it is like the Lucid plastic, it'll turn a little bit darker because the tint of the disc, where it's a little bit more see-through. So between those two reasons, anything that's Starlike.
I mean, that makes sense. Let's see. So you mentioned that you did some stencils. Mm-hmm. What got you into that, and do you like doing those?
When I first started, I didn't like doing it because I kept on getting irritated with the vinyl and trying to figure out the contact paper. It has turned to a big headache. But now that I got it down, I'm enjoying it a little bit more. So what got me into it, I just wanted to branch out. I mean, there's other methods that I could do, but I wanted to branch out. You know, I saw some cool stencils out there. Wanted to provide more than what I just, you know, just flow draw beds.
Where do you get your stencils from, and or do you design your own / mash things up?
So most of the stencils I do, if it's for a customer, it's mostly like they send it to me and I do it, like commission work type stuff. Other than that, I'll find like a few online that I like and just go with it from there.
So you have a vinyl cutter, I'm assuming. What is that?
It is a Cricut Explore 3. That's on Amazon.
I was going to say, did you buy it specifically for this?
I did.
That's awesome.
I just went on Amazon and was like, I want to make stencils. And that was the first one I saw. I didn't do much research and just went for it.
There you go. What vinyl do you use?
Oracle 651, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use the gloss black Oracle 651.
And contact paper, what do you use for that?
I just found this big roll off of Amazon. It's I had like the more plasticky feeling one, and I found that there's a lot of air bubbles, so I got this. It's more paper-like, and it's a lot easier to just get the bubbles out and stuff like that. I actually found that off of one of your videos.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to say, that looks very familiar because I have the same exact one.
Yeah.
Nice. How do you center the stencils?
So behind me, I have a flashlight hanging from a cabinet.
Nice.
I had to just take the cutting mat, center that with the flashlight laser, and that way I don't get the vinyl on the countertop and pull up the countertop. And from there, you know, just go into my Cricut design, make a small circle, center that onto the disc, weed it out, laser it down, and just flop it over it.
Do you put the vinyl on top of the disc or the disc on top of the vinyl?
The vinyl on top of the disc.
Okay, the right way.
Also learned from your video.
Oh, boy. Awesome. And do you weed on the disc or before you put on the disc?
I weed on the disc.
Okay.
I think if I weeded before putting on the disc, there'd be like, if I make an error or something, then I just wasted so much time.
Yeah. So what inspires you and your disc dyeing creations?
It's just a way to, you know, if I can't go out and play disc golf, it's a way just to get away for a bit, just like settle down, focus on something I like doing, and just, you know, making people pretty discs.
That's awesome. Do you have an art background at all?
Not at all. No. I'm not very artistic. I can't draw for anything.
Well, don't say that, because you are artistic. You're dying discs. That's fair. Art. I find it fascinating, and that's awesome that the so-called non-artistic people are dying discs. But it still is an art form. In your mind, what is the hardest part about disc dyeing, and what is the easiest part?
I'd say the hardest part, maybe it's between mixing the colors and getting it all ready, because it can be time consuming. That, and you might have some powder that's left over and just hard to get rid of. That, or like, say you just knocked out so many beds and it's just, you know, trying to find, okay, what do I do next? And you've already done this and that, and trying to figure out what kind of design you want to try and expand. The easiest part, maybe like making the swipe and making the cells appear. Once you figure it out, I mean, it's very satisfying to watch, just, you know, go from a sheet of dye getting covered by black or whatever your swipe color is, and then all of a sudden just random cells just start popping out everywhere.
How long does it usually take for the cells to form?
I've noticed a lot can form instantly. Like, as soon as you swipe it, they start popping up. But some you have to, like, wait a little while. I've seen videos of, like, them saying to leave it for 15 minutes before you put a disc in to get all the movement out of there. I just do that generally. Just they said it, so I'm doing it. But sometimes it can form instantly. Sometimes you have to hit it with a torch to get the cells to pop a little bit. But it just kind of depends.
Do you ever do a second swipe?
I do. So if the first swipe doesn't look good and I want to try to redo it without chunking the whole bed, I'll add a little bit more color to it and just go back and do another swipe and see how it looks.
Would you consider Floetrol a messy medium to work with?
It can be. Especially taking the disc from the bed without moving the bed to the sink. I have a big thing of cardboard just laying on the counter to absorb all the mess that I create. So between the swiping and, like, you know, you got the Floetrol, dye Floetrol all over your saran wrap, I usually just either carry it to the sink and put it in a jug of old Floetrol that I cut open to throw away Floetrol and dye and trash, or I'll just leave it on the cardboard. But without the cardboard, there would be a lot more mess.
Where is your dye lab?
So there's a little outdoor patio area that's enclosed behind my house. It's kind of can be a little exposed to elements because it's not really ventilated, but I just die out here.
Have you had any accidents or any fail stories that you'd like to share?
Plenty of both. So accidents usually comes in the form of powder getting on the counter and then some water getting to it. And then I get a dyed countertop. That are just, you know, dripping Floetrol from the bed to the sink and getting it everywhere. Oh, and also my condiment bottle, one of mine cracked, so I'm just shaking the yellow lemon zest and having yellow pour everywhere, and I didn't know what was going on for the longest time, so that made a little bit of a mess. As far as fail stories, I've had quite a few from what I can remember off the top of my head. So the latest one probably was with a hot dip, and I kept on sending it trying to get this glitch to, you know, take the black, and ended up getting like some puddles right here in the on the disc. I'm not sure if they're going to come out, but I'm going to try and see what happens. So from that, also with the silicone mixing and making my Floetrol bits, I don't know if I was, so what I was doing at the time was I was making my mixture, putting the straw in the sink that I used to mix it with, and just pulling it out next time. It was either the water off the straw or the leftover silicone in the swipe that I was using. But for some reason, I was getting some spots in my bed, and it was, you know, just leaving like a weird discoloration that looked like it just wasn't dyeing the disc at all. Other than that, I tried to use heat to take a stamp off of a disc and completely torched it.
Yeah.
Another fail story, I tried getting some Innova minis to dye and sell. They felt like star plastic. I let them sit in the bed for 4 hours and found out that they were not. I don't know what they were, but they did not take dye. I then proceeded to leave them for another 8 hours while I slept, and still nothing.
Huh, interesting. I'm assuming it felt like star plastic, but it didn't take the dye?
Very much so. Yeah, it felt like star plastic, but I don't know what it was.
That brings up another question. Did you clean it beforehand?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I usually clean everything before I send it, but I may have forgotten that one. I don't know.
And speaking of cleaning, how do you clean your discs before you dye them?
So, speaking of cleaning, that is another fail story. I found out very quickly that Castoplast does not like to come off very easily for their release agent. So, I typically take just a paper towel, some Dawn dish soap, some warm water, just scrub the crap out of it until I think all the silicone's gone. if it's Cast of Blast, I'll actually go back with the Magic Eraser after that, or just take Dawn and the Magic Eraser itself, scrub the crap out of it, stay away from the stamp so I don't ruin it, and just scrub it so I think it's good to go.
For the Magic Eraser, do you use it dry or wet?
Wet.
Okay. I've been finding dyers have been using it dry, which I don't know why that is strange to me, because I feel like it needs to be wet to actually properly work. But people have been using it dry, which is all right.
Can you take off stamps with it dry?
I don't know. Speaking of stamps, do you like to remove the stamp or keep them on?
So I prefer to leave them on unless the Floetrol and the heat have other ideas for me. Because sometimes it can, the heat and the Floetrol can sometimes ruin the stamp, especially for Innova discs. I found that to happen to a lot of the Star Plastic Innova stamps. They just like to fall right off as soon as you go to wipe the disc off. But I primarily enjoy leaving the stamps on there, especially if I can make like a cool artwork out of it, like the warship. Or like with the one I showed earlier, like this sorcerer, like I just took some glue and made his beard white. The dye didn't work out like I wanted to, but at least his beard's white. I have also found that stamp discs usually sell better. It's a lot easier for people to figure out what it is without having to flip over the disc and read the back. So in general, I try to get discs with stamps unless I'm doing a stencil.
Makes sense. And I saw that you masked off a part of a stamp. What do you typically use to mask that off with?
White glue. I'll take the white glue and a Q-tip, just add a little bit on there and start spreading it around until it fills up. Let it dry for 24 hours and then just go back, add another layer. I haven't really perfected that yet because sometimes it still likes to bleed through, but that's my method for doing it.
Yeah, I was going to ask, have you had any issues with the glue masking? And what beds do you typically put the disc with the glue mask in?
I've tried both the glue bed and also Floetrol. So the one, I actually have one dying in the background here. It was a Ricky Glue Harp. I just masked off the word harp and then also the Sake Bomb logo at the bottom. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but typically it at least holds a little bit. The last one I did was a Glow Buzz, the Halloween stamp one, and it came out perfectly fine. Left it in there for 4 hours.
For the one that had the bleeds, what bed was that, and did you use heat?
I think it was, I've had it in both actually, both glue beds and with Floetrol. And glue beds aren't with heat, Floetrol, I always use heat.
And you had bleeds with both those, interesting.
Not something I perfected yet.
I was just assuming that the heat would not, or the glue, clear glue mask, the white glue mask would not like the heat and kind of disintegrate. Was there any specific colors that you noted that were bleeding?
It's not something I've done enough to really pinpoint the problem. The Halloween buzz that I did, that worked out fine. I just used Caribbean blue, neon key lime green, and some lemon zest, and it did fine. But it just, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't for me.
Have you had any issues with the stamp coming up with the masking?
Not with the masking. The times I've had problems with the stamp is just, you know, Floetrol beds with heat and mostly with Innova discs. It can look fine when I pull it out. As soon as I start washing it off, it just likes to fall right off.
Yeah, I feel like if you look at an Innova stamp, it'll just go disappear.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
What is your must-have dye accessory?
Probably the heat lamp. I mean, that's what I use for most of my dyes. I mean, I'm primarily using Floetrol, and if I didn't have that, there wouldn't be much going on.
Can you give some details on your heat lamp? Like, what heat lamp, what wattage bulb, what type of bulb?
So, I just bought a random bulb from Trader Supply with the shroud. It's a 250-watt bulb. I have it, I measured it today, it was 2 feet above my bed. I think that's a little bit higher than most people. but that's just how the counter laid out and where I could put it. And it's been working fine for me.
Have you ever taken any temperature readings at all?
I have, but it was with a meat thermometer. And I just put it on top of the disc that was in the bed. So it got around 100 degrees, somewhere around there. If it's accurate or not, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be maybe a little bit lower or pretty accurate, but I don't know. Have you destroyed or warped any discs with the heat that you've been using?
Not with my heat lamp. Like I showed with the glitch earlier, I ruined that one with the hot stand or with the hot dip. But yeah, nothing with my heat lamp. Heat lamp's been fine.
And with that glitch, I wonder because it's like got a very thin flight plate that is like, nope. That's good to know.
That's what I'm thinking, but I'm just gonna pull off the stencil and see. I mean, it was a Pokemon stencil on it, a Pokeball stencil. So I'm thinking that maybe the stencil has something to do with it. Maybe the vinyl where it's positioned. I don't know.
Well, don't feel bad because I think if you just leave a glitch in your bag, it's going to warp and taco anyways.
That is true. That's what my other one's doing too. So
yeah,
it's a fair point.
Love them, but you know, they're probably not going to hold their shape very well. A side note for your stencils, I know you do hot dipping. Have you tried any other method to get the black on the disc?
So I've tried taking a paintbrush with some acetone mixed with some black. It kind of worked, but I think it had the wrong brush. Another part of a failed story. It started leaving like bristle marks in the on the disc, and it just didn't turn out great.
Yeah, be careful with the acetone because it can eat the vinyl. I've had that happen bad. If you haven't tried, try denatured alcohol because I've did that because I did a stencil on the bottom of a disc and it was near impossible to do it to hot dip. So I did it that way and it worked out pretty well. It's another potential good alternative to hot dipping. Like if you don't want to warp that glitch for whatever reason, you can try that maybe.
Right. I have to give that a try.
I feel like you're still relatively new to disc dyeing and you're untainted with a bunch of things. So I'm excited to see what you come up with.
I appreciate it.
So for, I guess, the business side of things, do you like to have an inventory of discs or do you like to dye on demand?
I do have inventory. I typically try to have about 30 discs on hand. Granted, some of those have been dyed for quite some time, and it's just discs that no one really wants, or maybe they don't look good. But I try to have about 30 on hand to take to events and stuff.
I know you said that discs that have the stamp on sell better. Has there been any other correlations for discs that have been good sellers?
That have been good sellers?
Yeah.
It really just depends on what's popular. So, like, buzzes I've noticed go pretty well. Glitches go well. Bergs. It just depends on what people are looking for. I mean, I just kind of go to the store, grab a bunch of discs, and see what happens.
Yeah, I feel like dyers have, like, they think this amazing dye, which it guaranteed is, but it's on a crappy disc that no one wants.
Right.
So exactly. You kind of have to play, I was going to say, you kind of have to play that game of what people like and don't feel bad if it's not selling, even though it's a really cool dye.
Right. That's what happened with this adder. So I've dyed this one for quite some time now. I only know myself and one other person that there's an adder. So it's been sitting for a long time.
I don't think I've ever heard of that disc.
It's Westside. It's a very beefy driver.
Okay.
It's mostly, I use it for a utility disc.
Gotcha. Where do you typically buy your discs from?
So I got a guy that reached out to me from Gateway, so I can get some from him at a wholesale price if I order enough of them. Other than that, there's a local store called Kafir Games in Wilmington. I'll go up there, and John, one of the guys that work there, and Phil, they typically like send me Facebook messages like, hey, do you want this? Hey, do you want this? And it's been hard to say no.
Yeah.
Buying discs when I first started was a problem. Once I got into disc dying, I was able to kind of take that problem and change it over to something I could, you know, do some good with instead of having 1,000 discs in my house.
Yeah, it's 1,000 discs of potential.
That's true.
You don't have a problem. I don't have a problem. It's you know.
Denial.
Yes. So do you do commission work?
I do. It's just basically, you know, someone reach out to me, then I'll see what I can do with it.
Have you had any weird or notable commissions?
Nothing really weird. So, I mean, I've only been doing it for less than a year still, so no really weird commissions. I had someone want me to do a logo for him for Christmas. I mean, it's, you know, nothing really substantial, to be honest with you.
You say that now, just wait. No. After this podcast, how did you start promoting your work and what have you been finding success in?
So as soon as I started dying, I went ahead and just made another Instagram account for my business. Just started posting everything I've done. There's like maybe a handful of discs that I've done that haven't made it on there, mostly because I forgot. So everything I've done is pretty much on there, and it just kind of grown from there. I hear that you should make reels, but I typically do not like recording myself. So
yeah, and yet here you are on a podcast.
I know.
I feel like I am a boomer. I think Instagram should be photos only. Video can be other platforms. Have you ever vended at any events?
I do. So that's typically where I make most of my sales. I'll take my stock of discs, go to tournaments or like monthly events with the local clubs. Just set them all out there. I got some like Innova racks from K-Fair Games that I bought. Just slide them all in there. That way they can be displayed and sell some discs.
That's awesome. Do you sell inventory there or do you take custom orders as well?
I'll do both. So if someone has a disc with them that they want me to die, I'll go ahead and, you know, pick it up from them, figure out what they want and get it done for them. And then also just if someone wants to buy something, it's there.
That's awesome. Do you have any advice or tips and tricks that you would give someone that would want to vend at an event?
I'd say come prepared. So know where you're going and what materials they have available. So like say if you're going to a tournament that has like a patio area where the TD is going to be set up to check players in, that, you know, otherwise you probably need to buy or have a table with you. That way you can set all your stuff up. That way you're not using in the back of your car, which I've done a few times. Also get there early. You know, if the player check-in's like 8 o'clock in the morning, show up there, you know, 15 minutes early or so, set your stuff up near the TD. That way, you know, people have to walk past you and just get there early and see where it goes.
So how would one get their foot in a door to actually vend at one of these events?
So the events that I go to are mostly like C tiers, B tiers, just local stuff. The biggest place that I vended at was at Down East Players Cup in Greenville. It was an A tier back in, I think it was October of last year. The vending part of it was just like at a player meeting for like supper, just go out there and eat. So there was like some pros there that were selling their discs and I set up a little area with some die discs. But in general, most tournaments is just, you know, it's a local park. You just make sure it's okay with the TD sometimes. And as long as they're cool with it, just set your stuff up and go.
Do they typically charge you for that or is it kind of free?
I've only had one person charge me to do it, except for the A tier. The A tier wanted me to sponsor their event to vend. But for like C tiers and stuff, they're fine with it.
Have you ever sponsored any holes?
I have.
Okay.
the Fall Disc Golf Classic in Jacksonville, I sponsored that one. That was November of last year. a few others, and one big thing that's coming up. So I've have a order for about 60 discs today for a Die Hard tournament in June. So William Hill, I don't know if you know him, but he's kind of blew up on TikTok a few times with his Tomahawk Aces or Thumber Aces. So he runs a series, a tournament series around North Carolina, eastern part of North Carolina. He's wanting me to die 60 Discmania discs for a player's pack for that tournament in June.
That is awesome. So what are you going to do for those dice? Because 60 discs is a lot to die.
It is. What I've been doing, so if you see any Discmania stuff on my Instagram page, chances are it's for the tournament. What I'm doing is, like, I don't want things to be repetitive. So I'll just take two discs. If I have a bit of die, just plop two in there, then use stuff from my stock and just keep on going.
Well, that's awesome, and best of luck with that.
I appreciate it.
That's actually that's a pretty cool player pack.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be pretty busy.
Do you have any tips or tricks in general for disc dying that you would give either beginners or some seasoned veterans out there?
For beginners, I'd say definitely do some research. You know, you don't want to get... I never tried RIT, so I don't know how bad it is. But I hear it's definitely not the way to go. Do some research, you know, watch some videos. You know, get an idea of what you want before you, you know, try to get it down. Otherwise, you get, you know, light blue star rocks that turn into a blue, green, and brown mess.
Yes. But it's also part of the learning process. The best way to learn is to make mistakes. But if you can learn as much beforehand, you don't make as many mistakes. So, you know, you learn from other people's mistakes, really.
That's true.
So I know you're relatively new to disc dying, but if you had to start over, is there anything different that you would do now knowing what you know?
I mean, everything that I've done along the way is a journey. Like, you know, you learn through everything, whether it works or not. I would probably skip the split cup idea and just go straight into swipe method and avoid the, I don't know if it's going to work or not, completely out of the picture.
Interesting. All right. What other disc dyers have inspired you or that you like their work?
So there's a lot out there, and I feel like I'm going to do a disservice if I forget somebody. But, you know, Happy Tree Dyes is pretty good. Daddy Mac Dyes, Disc Dyed by Emily. I wrote a list down so I didn't forget people. Daryl J. Dyes, Pastry Dyes, Greasy Dyes. There's so many out there, it's hard to remember all the names, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I feel like I put people on the spot, and I'm just waiting for someone to come with a full list of listing all of them. But yeah, that's great that you get some inspiration. Where else do you get inspiration to dye your discs?
Honestly, I just like think of what colors I want to add in the bed and just see what works and what happens with it. My favorite color is blue, so there's typically a lot of blue that goes on. But yeah, I just think of what will work and just try to go for it and see what happens.
Pretty much talked about all I wanted for disc dyeing, but is there any other disc dyeing things that you'd like to talk about?
I mean, if I get started talking about discs, disc golf or disc dyeing in general, like with any like person that has oblivious to the whole thing, I could get stuck talking about it for quite some time. But I think we've covered a lot of it pretty much on the, so far on the podcast.
So the next section that we have is we're going to get to know Logan a little bit more on a personal level. So the first section that I have is favorite fave. So what is your favorite band or song?
It's a hard question, and I've been thinking of the answer for it, to be honest with you. Because what I listen to spans a long ways from like country to some rap, some rock. I mean, it just goes all over the place. Depending on the mood, I'll listen to some Zach Bryan, or who's a country artist, or also I stumbled upon I Am Jake Hill and listened to some of his stuff too. He's a little bit less known.
Righto. Do you like to listen to music while you die?
So usually it's either a podcast or it depends on the mood, honestly. Sometimes it can be music, or I'll just put on some piano dreamers. It's like a instrumental piano music stuff. They just take like popular songs and make a piano instrumental to it. I'll put that on. It's kind of relaxing and just sit down and do some work.
Hmm. I actually might have to check that out. Because my child, I would play like, you know, lullaby or kids music for bed, and I would hear like this AC/DC song, but in the kid xylophone music. I'm like, huh, interesting.
Yeah, I actually found them at a restaurant one time. I was sitting down eating food, and all of a sudden I heard like piano, and like, that's Taylor Swift. And it just, I was like, I got to figure this out now. And granted, I don't really listen to too much Taylor Swift, but
yeah. Well, now I know how you listen to all these podcasts. You just listen while you die.
Exactly.
All right. What is your favorite food?
Favorite food, I'd probably have to go with sushi.
It's great. Next section. It's either sushi or pizza, which is interesting. Not like in a bad interesting, but it's interesting. What is your favorite beverage?
Beverage, I mean, I mostly just drink water. If I do decide to drink some type of alcoholic beverage, it's usually Miller Lite or Corona. But generally, I just drink water.
There you go. Miller Lite from Wisconsin, so good job. Besides disc golf and disc dying, what other hobbies do you have?
I play video games from time to time, just some Call of Duty. Other than that, fishing from time to time, go to the beach. I mean, I'm right here on the coast, so it's pretty accessible. But disc dying and disc golf pretty much consume my life.
That's awesome. Where do you live?
Surf City, North Carolina.
Okay, well, I guess that should have really... That is your name. And I was going to say, how did you come up with your disc dying name?
Yep. It's a tourist town, so there's a lot of tourists. I just took Surf City Discs and Dies, and it's like... You know, it's simple, it's easy, and just kind of went from there. I'm not generally too creative, so I just picked that instead.
Hey, it works. All right, the next section, the perfect hole. What has been your favorite course and or favorite hole that you've played so far?
So favorite course, I probably have to go with Arrowhead. It's a course in Wilmington. I know there's one out in like Kansas City or somewhere else, but it's like a small par three. It's not like super short, but it's good enough to where like you could birdie or you could definitely bogey if you go off in the woods. It's you know, some trees out there. It's a little bit challenging, but at the same time, if you hit your lines, you can get birdies on almost all the holes.
Fantastic. Do you have a lot of courses out there and or decent ones?
There's some good ones. So in Surf City, we actually have a 9-hole course. It's very wooded and the rough is pretty rough, but I mean, it's technical, it's challenging. I've shot par there once through the 9 holes. As far as other courses, I mean, there's probably, I'd say 10 within an hour, just guessing.
Are there any courses on your bucket list that you would like to play?
I like to go out to Charlotte and play like Hornet's Nest or, you know, some of the cool courses out there. Just like make a day trip or, you know, even like a weekend. Just hit all the courses out there that I can. If I can make it up to Maple Hill or Eagles Crossing or something like that, you know, one of the prestigious, like everyone wants to go to it courses, I would. But I just have to find time for it.
Yeah, that's the darndest thing. Time is very limited. Also money, but time.
Yeah, that too.
Next section, dream date. If you had to pick one pro disc golfer to hang out and play around with, who would it be and why?
So I've been thinking about this question as well, and I would like to say Matty O because I like Westside Discs. He's sponsored by them, and he also seems like a great personality. But he also has an unorthodox throwing style. So I don't know that I'd really be able to learn as much as I could from, like, say, Simon Lazat. I think he's been in the game for quite some time. He knows what he's doing. He, you know, started playing a little more safe, which I need to start doing. So I think I can learn a lot from them.
What do you prominently throw as far as discs brand, and are you a backhand or forehand player?
So I bag from, I think, mostly Trilogy. I have a lot of West Side in there. I have 4 swords currently in my bag. Felon, a few other dynamic discs, more West Side discs, 3 more anvils, some Gateway. I don't even think I have Discraft in there, to be honest with you. But yeah, I just have a mixed bag.
So are you a backhand or forehand thrower?
Sorry. I am backhand dominant. I have a forehand, but it's mostly serviceable. Like, I can get, probably 250 out of it-ish. It's enough to be able to use it, but nothing I can really depend on for distance.
Well, your forehand's probably better than mine, so there's that.
I also can use a thumber pretty good if I need to. I don't get great distance out of it, but like, if I get in a jam, it works out great.
Yeah, it's a unique style that is a crowd pleaser sometimes. All right, well, I hope you guys learned something from Logan, because again, with another guest, I learned another new thing, which is awesome. But Logan is graciously going to raffle off a disc. So this disc will go live when this podcast gets released, and 100% of the proceeds will go to Logan. So any money you put into him will help feed his disc buying habits. So maybe don't enter the raffle. But yes. So Logan, if you want to explain more about the discs that you're going to raffle off.
So I have a MVP glitch here. Again, it's, Floetrol cell bed. It's 154 grams. It flies great. It's a glitch.
So if you would like to get a chance to win that awesomely dyed disc, head to dyersguild.co/raffle and get entered when this podcast gets released. You will not be disappointed if you win it. So thanks again, Logan, for taking time out of your day to be on this podcast. Where can people find your work and or buy some of your discs?
Thank you for having me. So I only post stuff as far as social media goes on my Instagram page at Cersei Disc and Dice. I do have a discdying.com account. It's under the same name. There's a link in my bio. But, if there's something that you want dyed for a commission, reach out to me on Instagram. That's the best way to find me. I'm pretty responsive as long as I'm not, asleep. So, reach out there. If you're interested in something that have dyed, it's either on discdying.com or I haven't posted yet, or it's unfortunately already sold. But, if you have any questions, just reach out to me on Instagram.
Well, I'm excited to see where you take your disc dyeing journey, because you're relatively new with, like I said before, you're on Tainted Mind. And again, I'm really excited, and I'll be following closely of your journey. So that is all we have today. Until next time, guys, we will talk to you later.